Praise you, Father. Why don't we bow and pray? Father, we give you praise for being who you are, for revealing yourself to us in your word, for giving us a reason to be alive, for transforming our lives, Lord. And Lord, we know we're in a process, and we eagerly learn. And we just pray tonight you'll teach, that you will take us one more step along that way of transformation, so that we can be the ministry, Lord, that we should be to the lives of people who are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Here in Luke 17:6, it says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." In another place, it talks about casting a mountain into a sea. A seed, a small seed of faith, has such tremendous power and effect. Amen? Faith, a small seed of faith, can accomplish so much. What is faith? Well, faith is simply recognizing and believing and committing yourself to the reality that God is faithful, that He is able to be our total source of all life. God wants to be the tree of life to each of us. God wants to be the source of everything you need in this life. You won't need someone to look at you and say your hair looks nice, because God is the source of all value. God is the source of all adequacy. You won't need to perform for people so people say, oh, that's good. Those things will not mean anything to you. You won't have to have people like you to feel good. You won't get so mad when the boyfriend, you know, argues with you and he's mad at you for 3 days. You won't sit around with a stomach that's going upside down and can't eat anything, and you're worried, and you just, you know what I mean? How many's ever been there? You won't be affected that way, because God is the source of everything that you need. And then you can better have compassion for that boyfriend and minister his need, instead of being mad at him for being mad, for being hurt, for having a problem. I'd rather need nothing from anyone, if that's proper English, and be able to minister to everyone, than go around and be puppets, on the end of people's strings. You know what I mean? So faith is looking to God to be the source for that circumstance, or ideally for your whole life. And it only takes a small seed to accomplish such a great effect. But on the other side, sin has a great effect too. A small seed of sin can have a very dynamic impact. One seed of sin planted thousands of years ago by Satan, and later on by the human race, one seed has brought forth roots. And that's what a seed does, amen? A seed brings forth root. And the roots go everywhere, even into the pipes, amen? Everywhere. You ever try to dig around a tree when you're trying to dig somewhere and you hit roots? It's hard to get. I mean, roots go everywhere. And the seed of sin that was planted thousands of years ago has roots that's running up through the ages and has affected every human being that's ever lived. And it is affecting every single person, 5 billion souls upon this earth. Affecting every relationship. Affecting our potential. robbing us of our potential. Like when the roots penetrate a water line, it restricts it, doesn't it? The water can't run through that line. Neither can the sewage be taken away. It restricts the potential of that pipeline. And the roots of sin that has contaminated our minds and our emotions limit our potential. Scientists say that the average person doesn't even use 8% of their potential brain power. The very best, maybe 20%. Can you imagine only using 1/10 of our brain capacity? And already we've went to the moon and we've got planes that fly and all kinds of things. What could happen if mankind could use 100% of God's intended potential for that person? It'd be miraculous. And in our Christian experience, we suffer from the same problem, is that we are limited in our effectiveness because sin has penetrated our hearts and minds. It distracts us. It fills us with fear. It fills us with insecurities. It distorts our vision. We can't even see correctly. It affects our relationships. It affects every aspect of our being, robs us of happiness, robs us of effectiveness. It leaves us in a low-quality life. It robs us of quality living. Amen? We need to destroy those roots within our lives. We need to let God destroy the roots of sin that penetrates our thinking process, our emotional makeup, that renders us useless many times and keeps us impotent. When we see some tremendous catastrophe, when we see some tremendous injustice, when we see a small child that's born with some type of crippling disease, how many of you have ever experienced that and you wanted so much to see that little child healed? How many has ever, doesn't it grip you? Don't you really want to? How many of you have ever had a loved one perish and you wanted so much for their life to be maintained? Didn't you at that moment make all kinds of commitments to God? Oh, Lord, I'll do anything, Lord. Just help me have the power. Help me have what it takes to help this person. Right? Just somehow, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll give anything. If you just heal this crippled little child. When Esther went to Oklahoma and saw this young lady that was burned so badly, set afire by an angry previous boyfriend, and her skin burnt off, I imagine you wanted to touch and to heal. You wanted something to happen there. You know, I tell you what, we can muster up so much determination when we see something like that. And we can feel such a will, such a hunger for God to act. Amen? But you see, that will do very little. That will do very little to solve the problem. Our love is demonstrated. Our compassion is demonstrated. Our desire is demonstrated. We shed tears. We just feel the emotion running through us. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, be effective to set this tormented soul free or this tormented body. But you see, it's not what we feel at that moment that's going to bring a miracle. It's not our compassion of the moment that's going to bring a miracle. Cause us to be effective. It's our everyday living that builds a foundation that takes those roots of sin from our minds, from our emotions, so that when that moment comes, when that desperate moment comes, we have that faith, that trust, that committed will to set the captives free, to take those who have been bruised by Satan and heal them. We can't wait to a crisis to rally and want God to move. David fasted for a week and he rallied to save his son's life. It was too late. God help us that we're not too late when there's a need. We need faith to flow in our lives. We need the roots of sin to disappear from our lives. Faith, what is faith? I've said what faith is, but let's talk about faith. Faith is a totally committed will to God. Faith is when God, you commit your life to God as being your source. Now we think of faith in a limited sense, like a person got the issue of blood and or something, and we commit, we say we can't heal that person in our own power, God. We have a loved one that's sick. You know, I remember little Anthony. You know, you probably remember Anthony. I remember how compassionate you were for Anthony. How many remember Anthony? I remember so much wanting to see that little boy healed, his head so disfigured, an innocent little child tormented by tumors upon his mind. Oh, God, bring about a miracle. I cannot do that. The doctors cannot do that. The doctors cannot cut those away without damaging his mind, and they say more would grow back. God, we have come to the end. We are not the source to the answer. This little boy cannot be freed from this tormenting disease. By our will by our capability, we don't know how. We can't do it. We're at the end of self. God, you're the only possible answer to this little child's tormented condition. How many has ever felt that? We call that faith. We're putting faith in God because we can't do it. Nothing else can do it. Only God. So we look to him and say, we have faith. We're believing that you will. What we're really saying is that you're the only source. You're the only possibility here. We're not going to look to self because self is inadequate. That you are the only source to this problem. But we can't pick and choose. We can't say that God is going to be the source of miracles when we have a crisis, and then when we have a miracle problem, we take it in our own hands and we say, it's got to be my way. I'm the source. I'm not doing God's way. I'm not trusting God in my marriage. I'm the source. I want it my way. I decide what's in this marriage and what's not in this marriage. I decide the way my wife's going to be or my husband's going to be. Not God. I'm not trusting God. I'm trusting me. I decide. I'm the judge. I'm the source of judgment or opinion. Or we can't take and want a miracle in our loved one's life or somebody else that we might meet and at the same time say, but God is not the source of my finances. I am the source. I'll work night and day. Honey, I'm sorry. I've got to be gone all the time because I've got to work night and day because if I don't work night and day, there won't be bread and butter on the table because I'm the source of my income instead of God being the source. Now, if God tells me to work nights, I work nights. Paul worked night and day for a time. God had him work night and day. There's sometimes a reason. But if I'm doing it because I have fear, because my family will starve if I'm not the source, then God's not the source if I'm the source. And I can't all of a sudden stop my system of life and say, now God, you be the source. Amen? Some of you young people, you want miracles. Many of you would like to have the miraculous power tonight, wouldn't you? How many of the young people would love to be able to walk over to my house and lay hands upon Stephen and have her recover? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? You want God to be your source? How many's got the power within yourself outside of God to go over and do that now? How many believe it's possible in Christ? Amen. But you can't say that God's going to be your source for that when you're out dating. You're choosing. You're saying, I like this guy because he has long hair and blue eyes. Big muscles, or a lack of them. Some girls don't like muscles. I don't like his nose. It's crooked. He walks pigeon-toed. I don't like the way he laughs. Sounds like a donkey. I've got my opinions. I've got my prejudices. I am the source of what I want. I choose. I'm the source of my decisions. I'm the source of my attitude. I'm the source of my opinions and prejudices and all of that. Or do you say, God, thine will be done. Lord, Lord, you show me who you want to spend the rest of my life with. You show me who you know is that perfect person for me. The person that's going to cause my life to be totally fulfilled in you. The person that's going to be there in a time of trouble. That's going to hang in there with me when I'm serving you, God. That can complement my gifts and talents to a point that I can glorify you as I was intended to glorify you. Who, Lord, is that person? Doesn't make any difference what color, what size. I'll take them whatever they come. Polka dotted, striped, whatever, Lord. Doesn't make any difference. 500 pounds, doesn't make any difference. 7 foot tall, doesn't make any difference. A foot taller than me, Lord, if you're a girl, you might have to marry guys a foot shorter than you. These girls like these tall guys. Maybe guys don't give you a four-footer. You know, you have to pick him up to kiss him. We don't think that away, though. We choose, and we live with the results, don't we? Don't we? Don't you? You got to live with it. But why don't you look to God as your source of decision? Amen? Like Kay did. I was going to use that example, but until you put the finger up, I decided not to. Kay, one time, was talking about Richard. She thought Richard was a nice guy. But she had no imagination whatsoever she'd ever be interested in him. She had her eyes on Watson. Oh, I'm sorry. Uh-oh, I'm not supposed to say names. And I remember counseling with her. Oh, I say, you know, Watson may not be for you, okay? You know? She said, well, yeah, but he's so young and good-looking, you know? And one day she just prayed, God, what? And I give her just a word of knowledge. I said, keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes to anyone. Don't get prejudiced. God's got someone picked for you that's beautiful. And she never thought that Richard would be a sensitive, kind, loving person. From the outside, he looked like he could be kind of rough and tough, you know. But guess what happened? One day, she opened her eyes and said, God, who? And God says, Richard. Richard who? Richard Potts. Lord, are you trying to punish me? This guy's big and tough and rough. And now she tells me, what, a year later or whenever, she said, the Lord tells me, he is the most sensitive, loving, and kind husband a woman could ever have. I'm sorry, I'm a little disoriented here. That a woman could ever have. He touches me like I touch a princess. He's such a gentle-hearted man. I never would have dreamed that Richard has such a beautiful heart. Oh, I'm glad I opened my eyes, she says. Right? Is this all true, documented? Richard says, well, I got my story too, but we'll get yours next week. But what's beautiful is that it was the exact opposite of what she thought. And he treats her like a princess. She looked to God, and God gave her a prince. And I wouldn't have given this whole thing if he wouldn't have went like this, and I got the okay from him, so I gave it. Okay? But you see what I mean? Look to God to be your source. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to work? Oh, I want $10 an hour instead of minimum wage? Maybe God wants you to have minimum wage because he needs you where he needs you a certain place, a certain time to minister. Amen? Let God be your source. It's too complicated for us to be our own source. How can we know if God is our own source? How can we know if we've allowed God to be the source to our life so we can stand in faith? So we know that faith will flow when the time of need comes. Faith will be there and God will be there. Well, here's a few indicators. Take your temperature spiritually. If you can say yes to the next 4 or 5 points, then you can expect a miracle in your life beyond your imagination. How many is a candidate? Good. All you got to do is be able to answer yes to the next 5 points. And I believe tonight miracles can flow through your life beyond anything this world has seen if you can answer yes to the next 5 points. Number one, it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be able to give thanks in every situation. God says give thanks in every circumstance. Wow. How many are still hanging in there? Oh, my wife treated me so terrible. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Instead of, honey, how can you treat me this way? You're not living up to your biblical responsibilities. Oh, I just lost my job. Lord, thank you. You must have something else planned for my life. Or, oh, honey, what's the matter, babe? What's that long face for? Babe, I lost a job. I don't know what we're going to do, honey. Lost your job? What have you been doing down here? What did you do now? Who'd you get it into with? How are we going to make it, honey? I said, thanks be unto God. Amen. In all circumstances, be able to give thanks. If you can give thanks in all circumstances, then your faith is in Christ, knowing that He is the master of the universe and He can look down into your life and He can make something out of anything that can happen to your life. Amen? That doesn't mean give in to everything that comes along. Just be complacent, but be able to give thanks. Amen? Number two, Philippians 4:1. Be content and in a state that you might find yourself. Be content. Now, there's a difference in giving thanks and being content. Okay? I can say, thank you, Lord, because I know you got something worked out in this circumstance, and somehow you're going to get me out of this. Right? Lord, I know you're going to work some order out of this chaos in my life, so I'm going to give you thanks. I know you're Lord of the universe, Lord of my life. But to be content, that's something else, isn't it? When the woman goes, you know what that means, don't you? You women, you're looking so innocent. They act like they don't know what that means. How many's ever heard this? Is it women the only one do that? Women, how many think the men can do that too? Okay. Be content. Be content in any state that you're in. Financial, relationships, you're sick, you're not being used of God like you think you should. Someone's got better talents than you've got. They get up and sing, and you can't sing. I can think of all kinds of things. There's not much food in the refrigerator. You know, I don't know why we get so worried about not much food in the refrigerator when we're all weigh about 30 or 40 pounds more than we should. That makes sense. What are we trying to do? Maintain the extra? We should praise God. When it gets down the refrigerator, say, oh, God, the refrigerator's bare. Now I can lose some weight. That's a joke. Anyway, but you know what I mean. You see, be content. Because if you believe that God is going to work in your life and God is going to bring the best out of your life, then how can you not be content wherever step you're on? If you have faith in God, you have contentment. That doesn't mean we want to stay where we're at, because we know God's going to promote us somewhere else, right? We know God's going to increase in our life and He's going to transform. We know it's going to get better. But at the same time, we can be content where we're at. If we're a third grader, we can be content in the third grade knowing that someday we'll graduate. Amen? What else? Rest. Hebrews chapter 4. And I don't get the verse here, but it talks about us to enter into His rest. Can we rest in the circumstances we find ourselves in. And that's pretty close to contentment. Are we threatened by circumstances around us and people around us? Or can we rest in what's taking place in our life? We get threatened, don't we? We get challenged. We become afraid. Can we rest knowing that God is there? Fourth, unselfish. Can you say that you deny self? You cannot say that you are totally trusting in God if you're selfish, self-centered. If Christ is not the center of your universe, then you are. Then you're not putting your trust in Him. Self. Selfishness is a indication that you don't have complete faith in God. Amen? We need to stop looking around for others and other circumstances to make us happy, make us valuable, make us adequate. Amen? But look to God as our total source. How can we do this? It's nice to talk about it, amen? But how can we develop faith? How can we get to a point that we truly give thanks in all circumstances? How can we truly look to God and make our decisions? How can we truly look to God to be our source of every thought, every decision, to our total life? Well, 1 Peter 1:6 gives us a little hint. It talks about faith. It says something like this. Rejoice. Now we know we're going to hear something very exciting here. Rejoice. If need be for a season, you just might have a few tribulations. Temptations, trials, tribulations. So the trying of your faith is even more precious than gold to your life. Amen? Tribulation is a very important part of God's plan of molding our faith. Because remember, faith is a totally committed will. Amen? Having faith in God is looking to Him as a total source. It's keeping your will committed to Him. He's a source of direction in your life and decision. And when you think about how can God prove to us that He is a secure source, the best source to our life? Well, when things that we put faith in besides God, when circumstances that we count on, when people that we count on fail us, when we come to an end of self, when we cannot accomplish whatever it is we're trying to, and we are forced in a position of either letting God be that source or finding some other way that we can continue being a source, we call that pressure or tribulation. Word tribulation is pressure in the Greek.